and welcome to Faces of CI, Conversations in Contact Improvisation. My name is Alia, and today we're joined by Peter Bingham. We're here at Iram Dance in Western Front in Vancouver, Canada. Peter, I would like to start with perhaps if you'd like to share a little bit about your journey into coming into contact. How did it first find you? How did you perhaps get involved in Western Front and Iram?
Well, it started for me in 1975. That's when I first took a dance class. And it was a dance class in improvisation taught by Linda Rubin, who was here in Vancouver. I took a weekend workshop that a friend of mine had insisted on me taking. I just like to go club dancing. He said I would love this because there was no smoking, and you could smoke in clubs in those days. Mm-hmm. But it was a clean environment, and I took this weekend workshop after his convincing me I should. And I fell in love with it. That I started dancing pretty much full time after that weekend. I was at the university, I stopped. I finished that semester at university, and then I stopped and kept going with dancing.
What were you studying?
Psychology, philosophy, communications. Mostly psychology. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that surprised me is I found all the healing possibilities I was learning about and thinking about were happening in this room.
Yeah.
Nobody was calling it therapy.
Yeah.
But they were doing it, and it made it more therapeutic.
Yeah.
So I got involved, and within a couple of years, I was performing in Linda's company called Synergy Movement Workshops. And it was fun. I never really decided to become a dancer. I just found myself doing more and more of it. And I had some problems with my body. My knee is really bothersome. Used to go out on me and stuff, and so I had it rebuilt in 1978, and they said it was a failure and that I wouldn't be dancing anymore. And so I, myself and my partner at the time, Helen Clark, decided to go to Australia and Japan, just to tour around the world a bit. And we went to the east coast of Australia. She's Australian, actually. Started in Melbourne, and we went to all the beaches between Melbourne and Queensland over 5 months. And all that time, I was body surfing every day, probably 4 hours a day. And the body surfing, the way you stabilize yourself on your tiptoes all the time, completely strengthened the lateral weakness in my knee. And I didn't know I was doing that even. And then finally, I got back to Vancouver and someone asked me if I would be willing to dance. And I, no, I can't. I had a knee operation, I can't dance anymore. And the person insisted that I didn't have a problem with it. And she was right. So I did that one project with her, and then I started getting more work in dance, but also in the theater. I was getting some theater work. So that's, in a nutshell, that's the timing of things.
Was this contact, or this was more improvisation realm at this point?
It was improvisation and what Linda called contact work. Mm-hmm. She was aware of contact improv, but wasn't employing it. She called it contact work. But Nancy Stark-Smith came, one of Linda's dancers, Seamus Linehan, who's now Michael Linehan, he brought Nancy up, and we had maybe 12 or 13 of us in the workshop. So that was my introduction to contact in its purest form.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just, there was a, you know, 9 or 10 of us that were just glued to the idea. And we'd do it at the bus stops, we'd do it.
Yeah.
Do it all over the place. So that was, that was a long time ago.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And then how did you become involved? You're now, like, there's this building, we're in Western Front and Iram Dance. How did this come to be? And your...
Well, in those days, in the old days, Linda actually had this studio, the Iram Studio, as her studio for Synergy. And we were familiar with what was going on in the Western Front just because the building was really active, activated, but they were a different organization. And so anyway, Linda moved out of here and into a building that's now burnt down. So anyway, there was the 9 and 10 of us that were doing contact, the Western Fronters, seemed to take to us and just said, well, whatever you want to use the studio, just come and let us know you're using it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had carte blanche in the studio.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was happening, and then Edom formed out of some of those people and some others,
mm-hmm.
who weren't as familiar with the Western Front. And we formed a company, a nonprofit, and so we could apply for money, and we also formed a collective because they wouldn't fund individual artists.
Mm-hmm.
So we created a collective called Edom. Which is not my favorite name.
Yeah, it's not Edom the cheese. It's, what does Edom stand for?
Exactly everything that anybody ever said about Edom is what you just said.
Okay. But for people who don't know Edom, what does it stand for?
Experimental dance and music.
Okay. Not movement?
No.
No, where's the experimental music?
Ahmed Hassan is dead now.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. But this has been very much a pillar in Vancouver and also just in general in the Western contact scene for decades now.
Like, since, yeah, Steve was even here before 75.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve also knew the people of the Western Front.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew the group that I was involved in, not me personally, but, and then the Western Front people knew him, and he came and
mm-hmm.
we did a few collaborations together with Steve and with
performances, like
yes, eventually performances happened. Andrew got in on one of the performances, Andrew Harwood.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of us guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was still recovering from my knee mm-hmm. operation at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he did Current Exchange, mm-hmm. which was mm-hmm. arranged by Steve with Western Front.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of developed, so you have your own style that's like contact improvisation, but it's also like a dance company, which a lot of these don't exist anymore. There used to be a lot more like dance companies around contact improvisation.
Yeah.
And you put on these like somewhat choreographed performances that are also people can come and watch with the public. It's very much like the roots of contact. Like, how did that come to be? And also, like, perhaps what is a bit more of like Peter Bingham style, because there's a style I feel like that is associated with Edom and with the contact dancers that come from this space. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just from practice.
Yeah.
The style develops.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what your question is.
What are the themes, I guess, that come from your work in terms of choreography, like you've talked to you even a little bit. I know there's like this, is it touch and fall, and like the themes that you're running through with your dancers, perhaps.
Well, the dancers, I mean, basically we just train, you know, and things keep changing as time goes. I mean, I've been teaching since basically 1980. It's 40 something years. So the work just developed on its own. As I practiced and improved and created variation in my dancing that the pieces opened up a lot. But I used to make a lot of choreography, and the reason for that was that they wouldn't fund improvisation. So you just go where the money goes.
Yeah.
I just realized that I believed in dancing in that way, and I called it dancing. I didn't call it improvisation.
Yeah. And then it's somehow understood in a different way by investor government things. Yeah.
I think also there was the timing was right for Edom in that the council, the staff at the council were changing things.
Mm-hmm.
And contact was really peaking, and Andrew and Helen and I did a tour of Canada,
mm-hmm.
performed at the
Parallel Galleries? Is this, Andrew said he did a Parallel Galleries, or maybe this was a different...
It might have been Parallel Galleries on St. Catherine Street. Andrew did a performance called Momentan, and it was all men. And Peter Ryan and I went to that and performed on that. He was in Edom. And Andrew was out there doing his own work, still connected to us. So, yeah, I was just following my nose, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had good dance people around me, and it was always fun to challenge them. And I was a bit challenging myself to dance with them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I had basically tried to learn what was being taught about the stuff, like ways of staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
My body's totally thrashed, mm-hmm. so I can't imagine what it'd be like if I didn't concern myself with ways of being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Content. We just have to look at each piece and say this content is. About, I did a piece one time where I was just shifting energy from really high energy to down to zero at 60 minutes.
Mm.
And it was like having Excel exponentially.
Yeah.
So the loudest, quickest, fastest,
wow.
rambunctious session happened in the first 5 minutes. And by the time we were in 10 or 12 minutes, it was already slowed down to a snail's pace.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I made them endure my curiosity. It got really slow. By the end, it was...
Well, this is what is it, Basoko, like Japanese slow movement of like the whole slow mechanics of even falling to the floor. How can we organize the body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That piece had a 13-piece band.
Wow.
Playing live.
Wow. We also have here this morning class daily of every morning going through, and you seem to attract in like dancers into the contact space, like provincial dancers who are in performing realms as well as like contemporary dance. Do you see this as like somehow also like a thread of keeping Edom and this style going, of like having like every single day people come in and this repetition of a very... like there's a simplicity to your class, but it changes every time. Like having space for questions, having space for a long solo warm up. Yeah, I find it very like nourishing to come in and do this daily and to see what happens every day as a reflection. Like how did this perhaps develop, or is there importance of this for you in the work?
Well, for me, I'm surviving. You know, I've always used intoning in my class. Mm-hmm. Steve does. Have you ever taken a class from Steve?
No.
Well, he intones, which is like he drops his level down to audible. And then he just talks ideas at you, unless he's teaching you physical.
So what is intone? I've never even heard this word.
Intone is like mesmerizing or...
Yeah. create like a bit of hypnosis in the class for everyone.
Change of state, sort of.
Okay.
It was all done very much in the open, so it's not a manipulation or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was always attracted to that way of passing information on, because you actually put somebody into a state and then move them into an environment where that kind of dancing goes on, and they fit in quite well.
Yeah.
So I used to do that even though I was dancing it. So I would show material, contact material, and we would practice it as movement, not improvised, but like, where is the weight flow, where is the point of balance, what are you aiming your pelvis towards?
Yeah, there's a lot of like breakdown of like mechanics of like very fundamental physicality that I find. Like my primary teachers were Ann Cooper and Olivia, who are here from your dance company for many years, and this is what I'm seeing a lot of this importance of like the like physical mechanics of contact in the body, which is obviously from you. So
yeah, that would be true. Yeah. What's the question again?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe the importance. What is the importance of mechanics within contact and like continuing to share this, these fundamentals, but like in this, such a specific
way? Well, because of the choreography.
Yeah. You know, okay. Yeah.
And it's a really difficult thing to do, turn contact into choreography.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the dancers became very specialized dancers.
Yeah.
Even though most of them were well trained.
Yeah.
Dancers, if you will, who also did contact and brought a different element to the dancing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Contact dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always liked contact more than anything else, dance-wise. So I've made a few solo performances even that were based on contact movement.
Yeah.
Mostly I made pieces for dancers, so not me. I improvise. So it's a group. I've had a group of people that I've danced with over the years, Nancy, I don't remember the one, Jeff Bliss, Julia Carter.
Yeah.
Andrew Harwood, Chris Aiken, Ray Chung, Mark Boivin, Lynn Snelling. These are all improvisers that have come here to dance with me and perform with me. And that's, and we always had live improvisational music and lights. So that was one track. And that was supporting, or the choreography and the work of dancers was supporting me working the way I wanted to dance. So it was like a two.
They fed each other, you know, like you fit contact into be able to have funding, and then we have this space that you're holding like a pillar, and then people are drawn to you
something
in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Cool.
It's hard for me to, like, I haven't danced for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the bodies in the space, and I'm actually physicalizing what I'm seeing so that I can actually speak intelligently.
Yeah.
About what might need to happen in the room.
Well, it's all still there.
Well, I was wondering if it was going to be, because I took a couple months off this year.
Yeah.
In the summer. But it's been okay.
Yeah. Do you want to share a little bit, perhaps, so you have Parkinson's, and like, how has this perhaps in a way like affected your body, affected your view of like teaching, or your view of your relationship with contact improvisation? Like, has it changed since then?
Well, it changed a lot, because I also had my knee, the one that I already had the operation. I had that knee replaced because I could hardly walk. So I was teaching from a chair, and my voice went on me. That's a Parkinson's thing. And eventually they get me a microphone. I sat in a chair with a microphone. And now I've got the lavalier mic on my belt so I can actually move around a little bit, but just all these ways trying to get me to speak into the microphone, which is really harsh.
Yeah.
I was gonna shove it out of the way.
Yeah.
It's in the... So my teaching style, I would say before Parkinson's or before this score kind of deal that I do, I used to do variations on teaching, and I used to improvise every day my teaching. I never came in with plans. I soon learned at the beginning of my teaching that if I had a plan, it would blow my plan,
mm-hmm.
knock it out of the water. And a few of the teachers that I talked to, Steve and Lisa Nelson, about that, what was I going to say?
Making plans.
Oh yeah, they basically said, yeah, you make a plan for a class and you go in, the first thing you do is change it.
Yeah.
Because something's not right.
I have notes in this and about half of it changes within, I'm like, I have them anyway, but they're,
yeah.
It's like, not today. Yeah.
So yeah. So what's, I've been doing this thing with the microphone for about 5 years.
It kind of lends to the hypnotizing effect that you're going for, though, this
yeah. Well, voice. I can whisper.
Yeah.
Which I like to do. And when my voice was good, I could whisper
yeah.
and be heard. Mm-hmm. I had enough voice work training
mm-hmm.
in the mid 80s, I guess. I got involved in some more theatrical work and had to do, I did a voice intensive and
mm-hmm.
my vocal cords changed.
And what are you leading the dancers through? Like, if it's an example of some of your call-outs, I know you're saying, like, well, lead by following, and these, like,
yeah.
what,
well,
awareness.
Contact,
yeah.
I want to say it's, I know I don't want to say it. It's a terminology that I've developed.
Yeah.
To be understood.
Yeah.
And learn by following. Yeah, I used to teach that physically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, try and show them how intensely I was following my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so that developed into a formula, not really a formula, but a formula for learning certain aspects of the contact form.
Mm-hmm.
And
again, you're also sharing, like you're dancing with a baby, like, dance with care. Like, there's certain things that you say that are just, like, really beautiful suggestion reminders to dancers, like, these types of things. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching, and I try and make intelligent comments about it.
Yeah.
And dancing with a baby, that's not new to me.
Mm-hmm.
It does connect, particularly men,
mm-hmm.
to something... Slightly different reason for moving.
Yeah. Like a sense of, like, I don't know, gentleness, care, and...
Yes, and strength, though.
Yeah.
Not just softening out.
Yeah.
But actually attentive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Care.
Mm. Holding. Mm. Anything else that you'd like to share about themes that have become more important to you that have arisen through the journey of contact for you? Like, what's changed now in your interest versus before?
Oh, well, I've gone much deeper into the sensitive sensuality
mm-hmm.
realm with my dancers. We've made taking permission to go deeper and see what that does. And so we've been making these improvisations where the dancers really have to be ultra sensitive or they get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The pileups and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And different spatial scores to support the act. I've been working with 7 dancers, I never said that. The company has 7 dancers and 1 musician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this idea I see visually of composition in the room is very important as well. This, like, how do we keep it not just contact, but this other side and the importance of this in the space? Like, we do. We have this white wall at the end, very stark, that we can play with even in class. And yeah, this has been an important feature. I feel like the space has lent to what's happening in the room.
It does lend to it. It's to see what it is today is not to see what it was before, but it has been changing for 40-some years. Developing, I guess you could say, you were saying earlier that we've developed a style here, and that it's mostly influenced by me, probably because I've been the one that's constant. You know, we used to get together and practice lifts and jumps and standard rehearsal material, and then I would teach in my classes a warm up. It would be always follow me, warm up, clean, and probably codified a bit by Pilates. I got into Pilates because my body was crooked. I did a pretty good job on my body for a lot of years.
Yeah, do you have something that brings you the most joy out of contact? Either participating or
I
watching?
just love the contact,
Yeah.
the personal contact. The freedom of dancing without obligation, you know, unless you're dancing with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. The permission to go into a physical realm that's highly personal but not personal at all. We've been sort of breaching that subject in the room. My wife's an actor, teacher, and she does Grotowski work. And she always uses this term, tender touch, which I have absconded. I haven't treated it fairly in that I wanted the terminology to get my point across to the dancers, but it really changed their dancing.
To say the words tender touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has a whole development that they've done in the Grotowski work of like touch and then saying what you see, and it's the whole development that
What do you feel like are these ties between your original curiosity and psychology and now coming into this after many years? Like, what is this realm unifying at perhaps within contact for you? Like, just because I see a lot of times, like, what I mean, Nancy said before is like contact can be very much a mirror for life, like how we're showing up in life, how we're showing up in relations, this kind of thing.
I've always felt that way. Yeah, I mean, I've had, you either talk about the work that we've done or the attitudes that were developed. I've done quite a bit of work with Nancy and different configurations of people. With Nancy, starting in the 80s, Chris Aiken and Ray Chung around the early 90s. I don't know, I was hanging out here for years before I started moving up to do some teaching and art. And it's not very interesting chronology.
No, I'm just, what keeps you the most like interested after many years? Like, what keeps your curiosity in coming back? Like, if you like, even today in class, we were talking a little bit about, I was saying I'm tired of my patterns, which I know that's a thing that can kind of keep coming around, but what kind of keeps you coming back to contact?
I guess the act of discovery is a powerful one. And even finding out about the discovery of dead ending, how to put yourself on track to something that's changing. I've learned quite a bit about developing movement ideas by going against them. Like just simple things like landing a partner and realizing, oh, if you actually roll away from where you're going, your partner will be able to stay with you longer.
If you roll away?
Yeah. No, if you roll away towards your partner.
Well, how do you go away and towards?
Well, you're falling towards you, but at the same time holding back. So it creates elasticity on the skin level, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that moves, and I can twist that until it's tight, and then I get something to throw against.
Yeah.
Did you get that demonstration?
Staying in.
Anyway,
yeah.
Today we did that in class, and it seemed to work as a demonstration.
Yeah.
I miss being able to teach the various tricks that contact offers.
Yeah.
Just because it's good to challenge some people who just want to loll around the studio and not really.
Yeah, it's fun and cool to do, and why not? And I can see it still in the other dancers that are here.
Yeah.
Do you have any other like regular tips that you share with people that are things that you feel like people are perhaps missing in their movement patterns that was going to like fix the puzzle?
Yeah, if I just did this in class when you're in there, I would point them out as they go by.
Yeah, well, like common things.
Yeah, well, you just develop things and ways of saying them that you know work.
I guess I've always
felt that contact for pleasure is nice. But there's something more pleasurable about the discipline of contact.
Yeah.
Like, I liked it that I was, not now, I have no idea what I could do now, but I liked it that I got myself to a place where I could be repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortably repeatable. Either side. I mean, that's what the Pilates gave me, that information. Do everything one side than the other.
Yeah, there's something about that works really well in like training the body that comes from other disciplines.
Yeah.
But like looking at it as a discipline and as a practice, like firstly, and then all the other things, community, healing, psychology, all this other stuff is like other undercurrents of it. But like, this is it.
Yeah.
I don't know, what do you have a wish for like the future of contact going forward? Is it to like keep this?
Well, I mean, as I'm in the process of retiring now, over the next 2 or 3 years, that I do in fact have a desire for contact to stay in this building.
Yeah.
And the building has its own nest in it, as a nest. It holds a big chunk of the contact world.
Yeah.
And it's had performances in it by Steve and Nancy and Nita and Kurt and Mangrove and Contraband. They're all different companies or parts of companies that have kind of shown work here.
Yeah, it's all here infused in the space. It's got contact energy, so to keep it going in this thread.
I have an objection to some kinds of contact energy.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't support a home.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what I mean. People want to not learn sometimes. I guess that's high on my priorities list. I had a workshop I taught in East Berlin, or East Germany, at Ponderosa.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that place?
I haven't been, but I've heard, yeah.
Well, it's a fun place. It's a cool place, and I went there to teach before doing Freiburg. And I had a pretty good-sized class in there. I used to do a thing in class, like rolling across the floor, different ways of rolling and learning how to mobilize left, right, you know, head around tail, tail around head. It's all stuff that I learned from some people and also Nancy. Puzzles. I also developed choreographically some ideas that work. Anyway, I was teaching all these dancers this stuff, and then I went on and taught them some what I call high speed efficiency, whereas the contact points were really moving fast, and all of a sudden, boom, you're underneath it, and you have a perfect moment of stillness, and then you fall back into it again.
Yeah.
And it's a technique that you can actually learn. I talked my way through it while I was doing it to them.
To find these pauses that add something.
Well, to realize that they arrive if you let them.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, the thing I was teaching them was something they weren't doing much of.
Yeah.
So I thought I would teach it to them. The composer and musician who was teaching the class with me said that a lot of the dancers were complaining because they just wanted to dance. They didn't want to learn anything.
Yeah, there's a whole different style of like festival contact ecstatic, even in Asia where I am, versus people that want to learn the practice, which is why a lot of times I only teach workshops and say you have to come into a workshop. And those are the people that do want to learn.
Yeah.
I stopped teaching classes for that reason because it was too all over the place. Yeah. So that's what I found my solution was. But
right.
People that want to learn will find you if you put it in this way of this is the container of what we're doing. Anyway, anything else you would like to share perhaps about Edom or contact or any like other sharing?
Well, I think
Edom's
a place for contact, and contact has a place at Edom.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that'll go on ad nauseum. You know, so that all the work that those of us that have been doing it have done is not for naught.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've always felt it was a world folk dance, and that the place for contact is really present and healing the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this has been a very beautiful, this was my starting place where I learned, and it's been a very beautiful place to keep coming back to. So I'm so happy that it's around and that it's going. And I hope it also goes ad nauseum for a long time. Yeah, thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
So if you want to find out a little bit more about Edom and what's going on, it's edom.dance is the website. And we'll have this is the workshops and ongoing classes that are happening year round, other than summer, ongoing. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.